Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hey, can I just start by saying thanks? Can I just start with a great, big, giant thank you on this Friday? 3 days of us coming to you asking for your support for Catholic Answers and Catholic Answers Live. And I don't have any final numbers at all because Kathy Stone, who does the numbers, we wore her out. She's off for today. But I know we got lots and lots of calls yesterday. So next week, in the spirit of openness, I'll be happy to fill you in on how everything went. But just thanks so much to all those who called, all those who supported us, and all those who said a prayer on our behalf while we do our 3 days each, you know, our quarterly 3 days where we come to you and ask you for your support. Again, thank you so much. I am your host, Cy Kellett. This is Catholic Answers Live, and today we talk about reaching inactive Catholics. My friend Terry Barber, often when he speaks to Catholic crowds, asks them to raise their hands. How many of you have someone in your life that you would like to be coming to church that doesn't come, that would like to be receiving the sacraments who isn't receiving them? And almost every hand goes up almost every time. I think that's just the situation of the modern Catholic person, certainly in the United States today. And so we have to ask ourselves, well, what can we do? What can we do to reach those inactive Catholics? Our guest this hour will help us very much with that. Let me give out the number real quick so that you can call if you have questions about reaching inactive Catholics. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. It's nice to be back to that number and away from the fundraising number. Father Mike Schmitz is our guest. He is a priest of the Diocese of Duluth, Minnesota. He currently runs the Newman Center at the University of Minnesota Duluth and is also the Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry for the Diocese. And I have to say, most people know him from YouTube because he's funny, he's genuine, isn't that right, Father Mike?
I think that's probably right. I think most people would be familiar with that rather than my work with youth camps in our diocese.
That's right. But we were just speaking before we went on the air, and I was impressed to hear you. You work summers too. The summer off.
You know, most priests only work one day a week, usually a couple hours, and so I try to go above and beyond, you know, and work at least 2 days, even through the summertime.
Really? You're putting in 2 days a week this summer? I'm glad
you know.
Heard.
Well, I'm kind of an overachiever. So that's kind of one of the things I like to do.
Well, and so what do you do, though? Like, I would assume there are very few students on campus
right
during the summer.
Yeah.
So what kind of stuff does a youth and young adult campus minister do in the summertime?
Yeah, no. So one of the many things I get to do is I get farmed out to different parishes so that those pastors can, you know, take a break and go on vacation, can have a little downtime. So I get farmed out there. Then the next thing is I'll do a lot of youth conferences. So like the Steubenville youth conferences, I've got done with three in a row. Actually, almost every weekend in July this last year was just blessed. I mean, seriously blessed by being able to go to those youth conferences. And then for our own diocese, we do mission trips, and we're actually coming up tomorrow, tonight, I'm taking off. We have a camp for our junior high kids. And I love it so much because we have about 200 junior high kids from our diocese, and it's staffed by adult staff as well as high schoolers that we're doing shoulder to shoulder ministry with these high schoolers for the junior high kids. And it's awesome. It's super powerful. And I just have seen incredible fruit of some of these kids who, you know, they went to camp 12 years ago or more. And every day they're reading their scriptures, every day they're praying. And they're just like, you know, some of them now are doctors. Some of them are now priests. Some of them are religious sisters. Some of them are parents, and they're just raising their kids as best they can. It's the coolest thing to be a part of. And to see that transformational encounter with Christ, like, doesn't just end with the end of the week. It's been like carried out for the last, you know, decade plus of their lives. And that's just that good recipe for success in the future.
And it's interesting, Father, that you say that, because we have this a retreat center north of us here in Orange County in California called the Santiago Retreat Center. And I was talking with the director one day, and he said one of the key indicators of whether Catholic young people will carry their faith into their young adulthood is whether they went to a Catholic camp. at some point.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that whether they got away from family and in some cases, you know, from the neighborhood and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And they got out and spent a week or 5 days or whatever they spend at camp learning about God and being close to God and having that experience.
You know, it makes so much sense. There was a Christian Smith, you know, he's a sociologist out of Notre Dame. And he had done some he had revealed a bunch of just the kind of the devastating news. He wrote a book called Soul Searching years ago. That was the Faith and Spiritual Lives of American Adolescents. In that research that he did, at the time he was at the University of North Carolina, I think, maybe Chapel Hill. And, in that research, they found so much bad news about Catholics that when they published the book, they had to have a whole chapter for the bad news about Catholics. And then he went on to write another book called Lost in Transition about the moral lives of American young adults. And he just recently came out with an article, at least an article I read that he was had contributed to, where he said that this I don't remember the exact percentage of young people, but people are even choosing, like, say 40%. It was higher than that. I just don't want to exaggerate. Of young people were choosing to be atheists by the age of 10 to 13.
Yeah.
And that sense of like, and it was like this really like, how would I say it? Demoralizing and discouraging article. But in the article, they also asked, well, what's the solution? Like when there are bright spots, when young people keep the faith into their adulthood and like, you know, live it out, what are the commonalities? And they named three of them. And one of the things you just mentioned just reminds me of this. And so this is directly related to what we're talking about today. Those three bright spots were if they had these three things, they were vastly more likely to be practicing Catholics as adults. One was they had an adult other than their parent who took an active interest in them.
Okay.
So who was like a good faith role model, right? So youth minister, an older like discipleship leader, catechist, a priest, a religious sister, like someone other than their parents who took an active, you know, part in their lives and their faith life. Number two was they attended a Bible study or some other kind of like youth group event once a week. So there was something they could go to on a weekly basis and they actually went, you know, so that'd be like, you know, catechism class, youth group, et cetera. And the third thing was they had some kind of encounter with the transcendent God. They had some kind of experience of like, okay, wait, God is real. And so in that kind of thing, like here you have the camp that, you know, just north of you, we have these Steubenville conferences. We have the camp that we're putting on this upcoming week. One of the things that consistently comes back, like the thing that high schoolers or junior high kids are saying was the best part of the retreat, of the conference or of the camp was, oh man, Eucharistic adoration. Like we have so many,
I know,
so much energy into like the, like, here's, we're playing this game or doing this thing and this talk and this music. And they're like, yeah, but the number one thing was adoration. Jesus was right in front of me in the Eucharist and that's it. And I'm thinking, okay, so we're doing something right. And these camps, like you're describing, are doing something right. Because why? Because there's this, you know, consistent thing. There's people other than their adults or their parents who are taking active interest in them. And then you're bringing them face to face with our Lord in a place, like you said, where they're not necessarily distracted by just, oh, it's a Wednesday night or it's a Thursday night in our parish. It's no, you're moved far enough away that maybe there's some quiet where God can really speak to you and they can encounter Jesus in a totally new way.
888-318-7884 is our number. Father Mike Schmitz is our guest. If you have an inactive Catholic or inactive Catholics in your life that you would like to know more about, how to reach out to, how to share the faith and encourage them to return to the faith, and the great power of the sacraments, we'd love to speak with you this hour. If you'd like to speak with Father Mike Schmitz, I suggest you get on the line because lines do fill up quickly. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live, and we'll be right back.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 13:54, Jesus came to his native place and taught in the local synagogue. At first, the people were impressed with his wisdom, but then dismissed him because of their familiarity with his family. Why is it that we say that familiarity breeds contempt? Too often, we think we understand the familiar far more than we do, and then make erroneous judgments as the result. Yet at the same time, we loathe being misjudged ourselves. We need to remember that respect means to look twice. We need to look twice at each other, and many more times besides. It is only when we respect each other in this way that we finally behold each other. When we finally behold each other, we find that we cherish each other as well. After all, this is what we were designed for. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father Mike Schmitz, our guest this hour. We're talking about reaching inactive Catholics. We were, you know, at the break, Father, we were talking and about the interior life and how young people have so little opportunity to experience or to develop an interior life. You were telling me about an article in The Atlantic. Could you say something about that for our listeners?
Yeah, it was this great article. It's entitled, Have Smartphones Destroyed a Generation? And one of the things it's looking at is from a scientific perspective and just looking and taking into consideration the fact that this new upcoming generation has never known a time when smartphones didn't exist or weren't part of their lives. And one of the things that just blew me away, because of course we all know that, okay, they're really distracting and that there's access to a lot of terrible stuff they can get to. But they had noted that in every case, more screen time meant people were less happy. They reported being less happy when they had more screen time. And then when they had less screen time, they reported that they were more happy. And it was one of these things where she makes the author of the article makes a point of saying, like, this was not occasionally, this is a one-to-one kind of a situation where 100% of the people said more screen time reported less happiness, less screen time reported more happiness, and yet we can't tear ourselves away from our screens. And she's like, if this isn't a problem, and I realize, probably you realize this too, like as adults, like I got my first cell phone when I was 29 years old. I've been a priest for a year. And much less, you know, smartphones only came out 10 years ago, the iPhone. And I know it's affected me and like how I think and how I like, you know, distract myself. I cannot imagine someone who was raised on this.
Yeah.
And had raised that constant distraction, like how heroic it would be for a young person or maybe anybody to say, actually, I'm putting it down. I'm walking away from the screen. And I'm not going to distract myself. I'm going to enter into silence. It's always a daunting thing to enter into silence. Even St. Teresa of Avila talked about how she wouldn't go into prayer without a book because it's so intimidating to come before God and just enter into silence. And yet she didn't have to deal with all the rewiring of our brains that cell phones do.
Father, that's really, really striking. And they didn't even have cell phones when I was 29, first of all. But it's not likely that the technology is going to start taking steps backwards. It's going to become more and more and more inviting. So we do it. And the thing is, though, I wonder if you would agree with this, Father. Once they do discover the interior life, they will want more of it. We've got to get them in a place where they can discover it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's something for all the appeal of virtual reality, reality where you encounter the true, the good, and the beautiful. And so, yeah, there's something that, I mean, obviously at the same time, let's go back to this. The fact is that when you check your cell phone, you get whatever the thing is, you know, your social media, you get a shot of dopamine, and that drug becomes addictive, and you want to recharge that pleasure sensor by checking this thing. And so it's going to be actually a process, much like, I guess, maybe like you say, addicts would go through, where they have to, I'm making the decision to get away from this thing that I've become reliant upon. Yeah. So it's going to still be a heroic thing, because it's got a stranglehold on a lot of us.
Father Mike Schmitz, our guest. We're talking about reaching inactive Catholics. 888-318-7884 is our number. We go first to Millie in Panama City, Florida, listening on 103.9 FM. Millie, your question for Father Mike Schmitz.
Hello?
Hi, Millie.
Hello, Millie.
Hi. The question was a comment. Last night, a friend of mine, we were talking about if we could encourage younger children or even more dioceses and parishes to have perpetual adoration, maybe that would bring more people in and even bring fallen away Catholics in, because that's what I'm trying to get my girlfriends and my husband to just go to adoration for 10 or 15 minutes and make a regular. How can we use adoration, I guess, to reach out to those people?
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good point, because on the practical level, it's important. I'll talk about that in a second. But we recognize that grace is real, that God is real, and that the Eucharist is truly Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so you get someone in the presence of our Lord. Now, of course, God is present everywhere, but here's this unique way in which God is present in Eucharistic adoration, that obviously grace is there, the Holy Spirit is there, and that's operative. And that's one of the things we have to, I think, in a lot of ways, what we're going to talk about is going to be strategy stuff. It's going to be like, what could we possibly do? How can we have a program? How can we, again, strategize or invite people? At the end of the day, whenever someone has a conversion, it's always a miracle. Like, I think we just have to understand that right off the bat, is that whenever someone has a conversion, that is an example of Jesus bringing the dead back to life. And that's one of the reasons why I think Millie's right, that we, Eucharistic adoration or any kind of prayer can't be the last thing we think of. And I think it's fitting that she brings up, here's the first thing that we need to do, and not just bring them there, but we also need to go there ourselves and intercession on behalf of others. That's the first thing. The second thing, like the practical, I mean, I think with Father John Ricardo had talked about this. He had talked about how, you know, the Mass, we invite a lot of people to Mass, whether they're fallen away Catholics or if they're not Catholic. And unfortunately, the fact of the matter is that the Mass is theologically and practically an insider's deal. Right? It's specifically for those who are in communion with the Church. And that's why, like, oh, hey, you bring a friend to Mass and say, yeah, you have to go, you know, receive a blessing or whatever, you have to sit here. And yet at the same time, practically speaking, it's also kind of an insider's deal, because your friends or your family are like, wait, what's going on here? What do I do now? I'm like, shh, don't talk. And so Mass is kind of an insider deal, but the Eucharistic adoration, anyone can come to. And it's a place not only where Jesus is present in a completely unique way, but it's often also a place of silence. And if there's anything that we're missing in our lives these days, in our culture, is a place of silence where, nope, there's not going to be music later on. Nope, there's not going to be chatter or talk later on. Nope, there's not going to be a lot of arguments or a lot of words. It's just going to be the Word. And here He is present in before you. And one of the stories I always like to share is, I have a friend of mine who years ago, he was, I think he would basically call himself a practical atheist. I mean, he had no relationship with God. Not even a second thought, like the last thought he had. And a friend of his invited him into Eucharistic adoration. And he said he went in and he didn't even know where he was going. Like, I recommend people tell your friends, here's what this is and here's where we're going. But he said he walked in and his friend knelt down, you know, but he just sat there and he said, I couldn't even look up at what that was up there. He said, I didn't know what it was. All I knew is that it was good and it was holy and I didn't belong there. And, but I wanted to be there. And he said he couldn't look up, and he had his head on his chest, and he just started sobbing because he's like, that's good. Like, that's God. And he just knew. Now, again, that was a miracle, right? That man later on, he had, you know, as I said, he had a conversion, became Catholic, and I went to seminary with him. He's now a priest in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, which is phenomenal. But that's, again, I think Millie's onto something when it comes to inviting people where there's no argument. It's not a debate. It's just, hey, come here and be with God. And I think I think we're selling God short if we overlook that. So that's a great idea, Millie.
Millie, thanks very much. Great start. Great start to our suggestions today about how to reach inactive Catholics. Let's go now to Teresa in Lincoln, Nebraska. Teresa, you are on with Father Mike Schmitz. What's your question?
Yes, I have a son in the military, and he went to church with us when he lived with us. But of course, now that he's not with us, he is not going to church. And, you know, when he was going through basic training, it was very tough. And, boy, he really prayed. He said he really prayed. And now that he's over the worst of it, he says, well, I don't go to Mass, but I pray every night. And I know that's not enough. And we've told him that. And I even go so far as to call him a half an hour before Mass to tell him, hey, get to Mass. And he just, you know, just makes light of it. And I know how important it is, but, you know, I guess there's a right way and a wrong way to approach it, and I don't know what the right way is.
Yeah, I think that's a great description, too. I'm really grateful for the way you described how, you know, during basic, when things are really tough, it's like, okay, I'm all about prayer. And that describes so many of us, right? Like, I think a lot of times, as generally speaking Christians, but I know this, and a lot of Catholics, the reason we go to Mass is oftentimes the exact same reason why the ancient pagans would go to worship in a temple. It was either because we really, really wanted something, or because we wanted to keep the gods off our back, right? And that was the thing, like, you know, in the ancient world, you wouldn't go to the temple because you loved the gods, because the gods aren't lovable and the gods don't love you back. You went to the temple to worship, not the temple, but like the pagan temples, to worship because you either needed something so desperately that you're willing to risk that the gods would look upon you, or because you just wanted to keep them out of your life. And that is a great description of how many Catholics see the obligation of going to Mass, go of worship, is, okay, I'm going to church because I don't want to go to hell when I die, or I'm going to worship, going to Mass because I really, really need something. So great description of how most of us, you know, kind of as Catholics, might forfeit into that kind of that place. Now, how do you go about this? I think that what you're doing sounds right. It sounds like you know who your son is, and it sounds like you know, this is where he's like, okay, Mom, that's enough. And here's where he's like, okay, Mom, thank you, because you're calling me a half hour before Mass reminds me that you love me. And I might roll my eyes at you, and I might be like, sure, sure, sure. But it sounds like what you're describing, at least, is here's a young man who, I don't want to assume too many things, but appreciates the fact that maybe you're on his case a little bit. I could be completely wrong.
What do you think?
Oh. I think he might take it as he loves me. That I love him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's that I care.
And so everyone and all the kids in my parents, all my siblings, we all go to Mass. But I know there have been times in our lives when my mom or my dad are like, okay, so what's going on? Are you getting to Mass? Are you going to confession? That kind of a thing. And there's times when I know, whatever. But I think that is, as long as, again, it sounds like that it's not the I'm now angry at you, but more like, oh, I know, Mom, I know, that kind of thing, that you're doing the right thing.
Teresa, thank you so much for that call. Father Mike Schmitz is our guest, and we're talking about reaching inactive Catholics. If you have inactive Catholics in your life, you would like some help talking about how to reach them, give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. We'll be right back with more Father Mike Schmitz on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
Encounter with Dan Demite and Patrick Rice is our new radio show for young adults.
The Holy Spirit is about a new and exciting work in the young church of today. On Encounter, we bring young adults the life-changing testimonies of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Their testimonies bring faith and power into the lives of everyone who listens.
Encounter with Dan Demite and Patrick Rice. The spiritual awakening begins tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Monsignor Robert Hugh Benson's masterpiece, Lord of the World, is, in a word, prophetic. Originally published in 1907, it depicts a world where relativism has triumphed over objectivity, a world where, in the name of tolerance, religious doctrine is not tolerated. It is a world where euthanasia is practiced widely and religion hardly practiced at all. The lord of this nightmare world is a benign-looking politician intent on power in the name of peace and intent on the destruction of religion in the name of truth. Author Dale Alquist said it best, whether or not Monsignor Benson's picture of our future is accurate, the fact is his picture of our present is chillingly accurate. Recommended by Pope Benedict XVI and by Pope Francis, Lord of the World is a must-read. It's also the latest release in the Catholic Answers Classics series. Order your copy of Lord of the World now by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting Catholic.com or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Our summer series continues next Tuesday, August 8th. If you live in the San Diego area, Tim Staples will be speaking on Tuesday on the communion of saints in the lives of Christians. It'll be at Ascension Catholic Church at 7 p.m., and I guarantee you they will have cookies there. If you can't attend the talk, you don't get cookies, but you can get live streaming. For more info on attending the talk or watching the live stream, just go to our Catholic Answers Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and put in Catholic Answers, and you will find us there. That's 7 o'clock next Tuesday, Tim, on the communion of saints in the lives of Christians. This hour, Father Mike Schmitz is our guest. He's all fired up because he's been doing Steubenville conferences all summer. But today we're talking about how do we reach those inactive Catholics? How do we reach those Catholics who are not practicing the faith? Often they are our loved ones. And so we're happy to take your calls on that. If you have questions about how to reach inactive Catholics or suggestions, give us a call, 888-318-7884. Rich in Oviedo, Florida, our second Florida call already, listening on 920 AM. You are on with Father Mike Schmitz. What's your question?
Yeah, one of the things I've found talking to fallen Catholics is their belief that the church hates homosexuals and very
Rich, I'm sorry to tell you this. Your phone is just bouncing in and out. It sounded to me, and Father, you're saying that many people who are former Catholics say they are not happy about the church's view on homosexuality. Is that what you heard, Father?
Yes.
Okay, why don't you address that? And Rich, we'll try to get back to you to make sure that's what you were asking, but we couldn't make out fully what you were saying. Go ahead, Father.
Yeah, you know, actually, that's one of, I think it was Bishop Barron who had either written something or he had made a Word on Fire YouTube about the four reasons why people fall away from the church. And that was one of the four. It was on the moral teachings of the church. Now, the interesting thing about this was that it wasn't I don't think it was the number one reason why people left. But there is a perception that absolutely, as I think it's Rich who said.
Yeah, that Rich, right.
Yeah, that he had said that, yeah, a lot of people are like, no, the church is teaching on you know, homosexuality. One of the things I will find is that people get their news from the news, right? They get their information from the TV, or they get their information from the squeaky wheel. They get their information from social media. And a lot of times the perspective or yeah, the perspective via social media and via the news is exactly that. Is this kind of claim that those who experience same-sex attraction have no place in the church. And one of the things that's really interesting is the voice of men and women, a lot of men and women who experience same-sex attraction, who are absolutely faithful to the church, who love the church, and who say that, no, I found a home in the church. And for, as an example, there is a book that Ignatius Press just came out with called Why I Don't Call Myself Gay. It's by a man named Daniel Mattson. It's M-A-T-T-S-O-N. And I just completely recommend it. It has an introduction. His foreword is by Cardinal Sarah. I'm like, what the, how do you get that guy to do this? But Daniel Mattson is a man who himself experiences same-sex attraction and has lived a homosexual lifestyle, who has found a home and has found welcome and has found love in the Catholic Church. And the kind of, those stories don't get told as much. And so one of the things that I like to do when it comes to people who say, you know, I think that the church judges too harshly, or that the church is narrow-minded when it comes to this, is I can, you know, argue here's the reason behind the church's teaching. And I think it's important that we present that. But I think that the best witnesses for the church in this area are those who experience this and still witness to the church. And one of the things I found so often last year, last summer, you mentioned the Steubenville conferences, Si, that last year I was assigned the talk, the love and same-sex attraction talk, or I think it was called love, tolerance, and same-sex attraction. You can find it on YouTube. One of the things I found is that when I gave that talk, one of the things I said is something about longing for the day or excited for the day when the church has canonized the first canonized saint who has expressed, it's known that they experience same-sex attraction.
Mm-hmm.
It was a couple places when I gave that talk, like at that moment, these teens just erupted in applause. Now, that applause wasn't just for like the idea of like, yeah, because everyone's worthy of love, although we definitely believe that. But they were saying, yeah, that would be amazing that here's a man or a woman who, yes, experiences this, but at the same time, out of love for Jesus, says, I want to choose Jesus more than I want to choose anything else. And I've talked to so many in the last 10 years since that talk's been out there and whatnot. Talked to many, many men and women who experienced same-sex attraction who come up to me and say, Father, I'm going to be that first person. Like, I'm going to be that first saint. And I'm like, yes, that's so good. Because those are the people who are going to be the best witnesses. Because, again, as I said, I can talk until I'm blue in the face about here's the reasons why. But the best witnesses that the church is not a place of bigotry or of hatred or of phobia are the men and women who say, no, listen, like Daniel Mattson, I have a home in the church. I didn't know the love that I know now until I became Catholic, or until I, you know, opened up about my heart to those who are Catholic. Now, that's not everyone's experience, of course. And so because it's not every person who experiences the same thing, because not everyone who's come out has experienced that same kind of love, then our job as active and practicing Catholics is when someone does come out, that we receive them with love. And that we, yes, of course, call them on to holiness and call them on to conversion. Absolutely. Just like all of us are called on to holiness and conversion. But we have to be those people who are willing to say, here's what the love of God is like. And here's what the mercy of God is like. And so it takes everyone, right? That's why this whole issue, quote unquote issue, is not an us and them issue. This is just an us issue, where we're all called to conversion. We're all called to place Jesus first. And so I think that, like Rich has asked, you know, I have friends who say, no, I can't do it because of this teaching. Well, I would love to introduce those friends to men and women who say, this teaching saved my life. And I think that there are many, many people out there like that. And they're going to start telling their story more and more often.
Rich, I don't know if you can you hear us, and did that answer the question you wanted answered?
Yeah, exactly what I needed, and I appreciate it.
Great, Rich. Thanks very much for that call. We have had Daniel Mattson on here on Catholic Answers Live.
Oh, awesome.
He was on not too long ago, actually, to talk about the book. And I will tell you, I think I know how he got Cardinal Sarah to do the intro to that book, because I believe that this was the story. I'm gonna have to check my memory on this, but Matson is in the movie Desire for the Everlasting Hills.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they showed the movie in Rome. I think Father Cech took it over to Rome, and Cardinal Sarah was at the showing, and Daniel Matson was at the showing, and Cardinal Sarah was very impressed with the movie, and so I think that's how they got connected. So.
That is great.
It wasn't just a hypothetical question. Yeah, there's an answer to that question.
There's an answer to that question.
Yeah, right. 888-318-7884 is our number. By the way, Desire for the Everlasting Hills, highly recommend that. You can. It's free. Okay. Just go online. Type in Desire for the Everlasting Hills. It's. You know what, Father? I think, like as you said, it's not. It's never an us and them thing. You're not going to feel any sense of us and them when you watch this movie. You're going to say that's my story too. The story of conversion. So beautiful and worthwhile. Let's go to Paula in Shawnee, Kansas, listening on 1090 AM. Paula, your question for Father Mike Schmitz.
Hi, Father Mike. Can you hear me?
Hi, Paula. Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Hey, I forward your YouTube videos to my children all the time because I think you're wise. Awesome. And you speak Thanks. To them at a level that apparently I don't. But you know, my biggest concern was that, you know, financially, I'm not able to continue sending my son to Catholic school where, you know, they help with, teaching him. And I try to lead by example, you know, church, adoration, et cetera. But, you know, I have a college-age daughter, but they have so many things that are, distracting them, whether it's, and they're both great kids. Self-sufficient, they have jobs, but you know, these jobs are Saturday nights and Sundays, and Mass is hard to get to, and I just feel I'm sad that I'm not able to continue to send my son to Catholic church, but even our parish doesn't have like a high-level youth group. So what are your suggestions besides the praying and leading by example that you might be able to help a mom like me that desperately wants to make saints out of my children?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Now, how old are your kids?
My son is 17 and my daughter is 20.
Great. Okay. So one of the things, you know, of course, is going to be, I would say there's like the lead goals and there's the lag goals. And one of the lag goals is them going to Mass, you know, that sense of like, okay, if I can get them to be going to Mass, then that's a good sign. That's a sign that they're healthy. That's a sign that they are, they have a faith life. That's a sign that they're willing to make the sacrifices that they need to make in order to get to worship God as we're called to. But I think sometimes we can put those, that as that goal as like, that's it. And realize there's more things we can do ahead of time that can help them get to that place where they have those lead goals. And so what would the lead goals be? I think some of them are going to be, like we talked about the Christian Smith thing, where it's like, is there an adult other than, you know, you, or adult other than a parent who is willing to invest in some way, in a normal way, right? In the way that they both want to be invested in. Number two, is there any opportunities that they could have to have an encounter with God? That is not just here's a piece of truth, but here's an actual encounter with the Lord. And that would actually, that's what I recommend. That's kind of the first thing is I would say, because the other stuff is hard to control. You know, everyone's so busy these days that how can you make sure that they have time to then meet with someone? But I wonder if for the 17-year-old, there's plenty of room for, like, are there any great, retreats, conferences, events where they could go and potentially have that kind of that space where they can encounter the Lord? And I know that for, I think you said your 20-year-old is a daughter?
Yep, she goes to college. Mm-hmm.
Yep, so one of the events that for college students that has just been incredibly transformative is a thing called SEEK. SEEK is put on by the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, or FOCUS, and happens every 2 years. And in between every year, they have another thing for like the kind of the student leaders. But that's
right.
Another event. That's another event where like students go away and they get to, again, they have, that's not a guaranteed, obviously, but at least to have the space to encounter the Lord in a way that is beyond just by hearing about him. Because it's almost like what Job says at the end of the book of Job, is he says, you know, formerly I had heard of you, but now, Lord, I've seen you with my own eyes, and I can testify that I repent in dust and ashes. And I would be praying for that, for both your son and for your daughter, that they have a chance. You know, again, it's not guaranteed, it's not a magic bullet, but I wonder if there'd be the opportunity, if they could encounter the Lord on retreat, at a camp, at a conference, where it would actually be that missing link. Because it sounds like they're good kids, and it sounds like, you know, they know what the right thing is. But then there's that extra oomph of like, oh, wait, I've encountered the one who is good, the one who is the right, the one who is the truth. I don't know if that makes any sense.
It does, and I appreciate that very much. I was, you know, like I said, I'm mourning the loss of the Catholic high school, because they did offer those.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Sikh, but other retreats. And our, like I say, our parish does something more on a small group level. And so I'll just maybe reach out to the Archdiocese and see if they have those types of available, without, you know, having to do so through maybe a parish, enrollment through a parish. Maybe they've got a larger program.
Are you anywhere, Paula, are you anywhere near Olathe, Kansas?
I am.
What about Prince of Peace over there in Olathe, Kansas? Don't they have a good youth program?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because they have our former youth minister.
They stole him.
Are you impressed with my knowledge of youth programs? I think I tried to impress you both with my knowledge, but it's because Meg.
I am very impressed.
Meg, the intern here, is actually from Shawnee, Kansas, and she told me go over to Prince of Peace. Okay,
well, that's good to hear.
All right. Well, Paul, thank you so much for the call. We do have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more with Father Mike Schmitz on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Hello, my friends. This is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers. In 1 Corinthians, St. Paul exhorts Christians to have no dissensions among themselves and to be united in the same mind. And yet, since Martin Luther's rebellion exactly 500 years ago, the apostles' injunction seems to have gone unheeded. What is the faithful Catholic who desires Christian unity to do? Join us at the Catholic Answers National Conference this September 28th to 30th, right here in San Diego. The theme of the conference is the reunion of all Christians. If you want to learn how to evangelize our separated brethren with charity, you don't want to miss this conference, featuring all your favorite Catholic Answers speakers and some superb guests, too. Registration is priced lower than last year, and we have an even lovelier hotel with a better room rate. And September is the very best month to visit San Diego. For all the details, visit CatholicAnswersConference.com. Early bird registration savings expire July 2nd. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com and register today.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Final segment with Father Mike Schmitz this hour. We're talking about reaching to inactive Catholics. How do we reach inactive Catholics? I'll give you the number, 888-318-7884, but the lines are very full, so we will try to work our way through calls as quickly as we can with Father Schmitz. Next hour, Steve Weidenkopf, historian extraordinaire, will be in here to talk about the Reformation. His question is, was it a Reformation or was it a revolution? Looking forward to that. We'll actually have two historians in with us because I know Chris Check, our own Chris Check, will come in for a few minutes next hour. So let's try to work our way through the questions that we have this hour for Father Mike Schmitz. Judy in Irvine, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. You are on with Father Mike Schmitz. Your question, please.
Hi, Father. I have a daughter and my husband both are not practicing right now. And so I could have a million questions, but my most pressing question is my daughter has a baby girl and she is 10 months old now and she hasn't gotten her baptized. And I've always heard that as a baptized Catholic myself that I could take holy water and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And would that truly take original sin off her soul?
Great question. And I completely can understand like the anxiety I imagine that you would feel over all of this. There'd be two parts to the question. One is the actual mechanics, and the other is kind of the prudence of the moment. So the mechanics, yes, that would be a valid baptism, and that child would be, like you said, original sin, erased and made it son or daughter of God, and et cetera. So yeah, it'd be a valid baptism. The next question, though, is, of course, going to be the rights of the parent over their own child. And that kind of a thing is naturally given to the parents from God himself. And if the parents are adamantly against their child being baptized, then it becomes very, very questionable to do that in spite of their wishes. And know that for us, we'd say, well, yeah, but I'm actually doing a good thing for my grandchild. But at the same time, what we realize is that that prudentially, it would probably not necessarily be the wisest thing to do because I'd be acting in violation of the parents' wishes. Now, the better thing to do possibly would be to be able to, I know that it's not a sacramental baptism, but my own mom and dad at different times when my siblings were really slow in baptizing their children, it'll be fine. They're like, and it's not going to, who knows what's going to happen. And so they'd be like, just, you know, trace the sign of the cross over the child and say, you know, I claim you for Jesus Christ. It's not the same thing as baptism, but it was at the same time really praying those prayers of a grandparent over their grandchild. I think the most immediate thing would be that. And then the secondary thing would be possibly even sharing something about baptism with your own daughter. And again, this is not a commercial, so I just want to keep that in mind. But I just wrote a baptism program, or baptism prep program, and I designed it especially for millennials. It was written specifically for people who are like, yeah, baptism is not a big deal, but I'm here because my mom wants me to be here. And it's called Belonging. It's out of Ascension Press. And again, I don't mean this to be a commercial, but because your story is not unusual, your story is actually incredibly, incredibly common right now, unfortunately. One of the goals that we had for this program was to be able to say, how do we meet millennials where they're at? These people who are saying like, well, faith is more or less irrelevant. I'm here because someone else wants me to be here, not because I want to be here. And so I wonder if this wouldn't be possible. Whether your parish, local parish, or your daughter, wherever she lives, to be able to even say, okay, would you be willing to even just kind of check this out, this program out? Now, again, the teaching is going to be the teaching, and the teaching I think is good. I'm doing it, so I don't mean anything like that. But I would say that what's really we're trying to do is highlight, here is why baptism is critical, and here's why you as a mom or a dad who love your child, this is why you want baptism for your child. And I think that we do a pretty good job of explaining that in a way that, again, in my opinion, I think millennials will receive. It's called Belonging, and it's through Ascension Press. The heart of the whole program, though, is not just about the content. The heart of that program is about connecting those young couples with people in their community who will want to invest in them. You know, I think there's so much disconnect we have and so much man, we're just out of joint when it comes to being in community, that the goal of the program is to create a space that community can happen. So like here's, you know, your daughter and her husband, and to be able to say, okay, do you want an older couple who's just willing to befriend you, just willing to help you out, who's willing to kind of be in relationship with you? That's going to be the twofold key, I think. One is the great teaching, and the second is relationships, because we are starved right now for relationships.
Judy, thank you so much for that call. I'm going to keep moving because we only have a short time left with Father Mike Schmitz. We go now to Aaron in Melbourne, Florida, listening on the Ave Maria app. Aaron, your question for Father Mike Schmitz.
Hi, Father. So my question is,
hi,
I am a recent convert to Catholicism. It's Irini, actually. It's okay.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. I'm a recent convert. So I was a Coptic Orthodox. I'm now Coptic Catholic. I run a young adult ministry, and I find it very difficult to help the ministry members understand the importance of witnessing, because that's something that, like you said, disconnect is a big problem. So how do I help teach them to connect, because people are hurting? People need it.
Yeah.
And how do we step out of this comfort zone? Why are we not?
Yeah. No, first of all, thank you so much. And thank you so much. And praise God for your role in the Coptic Catholic world. I'm so grateful for you. And that's just awesome. I'm just excited beside myself right now. Number two, Pope Paul VI in the 60s, in one of his letters, encyclical Evangelii Nuntiandi, or the Evangelization in the Modern World, he says these powerful words, and these words are super convicting for every one of us who claim to be Catholic, who claim to be Christian. And he said, ultimately, the test of whether or not we've encountered Christ is whether or not we're willing to invite others to encounter him. Like that becomes the test. And whenever I've shared that with people, like the test of whether or not we've actually encountered Christ lies in whether or not we're willing to share him with others. That issue is all of a sudden like, wait a second, let's go back. It's not about necessarily going out immediately. First of all, I have to take a gut check, and I have to ask the question, wait, have I encountered the living, the risen God? Have I encountered the risen Christ? Have I encountered Jesus in a way that's changed my life? Because a lot of us, you know, Sherry Waddell has this great book called Forming Intentional Disciples. And in that book, Forming Intentional Disciples, Sherry Waddell reveals a lot of her research. And in a lot of her research, she points out that even many people who work in parishes have not yet encountered Christ in a way that's transformed their lives. And so a lot of us, that's the first step. We need to encounter Christ first. That becomes the test of whether or not we're willing to share him with others, I think. No, that's the first thing. Now, if we have time, I'll go on to the next thing.
I'm sorry, Father. We are out of time. Irini, we have to say thank you very much to Irini for that call. And thank you very much, Father Mike Schmitz, YouTube sensation, for joining us here on Catholic Answers Live this Friday afternoon. Father, may we have your blessing before we go.
Absolutely. May Almighty God bless you all those listening. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Let's do this again, can we, Father?
I love it. It's so much fun.
Good. It's fun for us, too. Next hour, Steve Weidenkopf will be here. We'll be discussing the Protestant Reformation. Was it a reformation or was it a revolution? Right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.